Emmanuel. God with us. That's what that means. Emmanuel, God with us. You know, the world religions, all of the world religions, the idea is to get to God. To get to God. But the true religion, Christianity, God said, it's impossible for you to get to me. So I'm coming to where you are. I am Emmanuel, God with us. God came to be with us. That is the Christmas story. If I were to ask you, I'm going to read to you the Christmas story this morning. Does anybody have any idea where you're going to turn in your Bibles? Oh, you cheated. You saw it in the bulletin. Typically, when we think of the Christmas story, we think of the book of Luke, chapter 2. We'll read that and the events. But I'm going to present to you today Christmas in the book of John. So if you take your Bibles and turn to the book of John, chapter 1. I was reading through this passage several weeks ago, and here's most of you that know me. I don't like to do things ordinary. I hear some chuckles, and I like to try to find the little nuances, the little twists and turns that sometimes maybe come at things from a little different direction of and shed maybe a new light or just kind of give a different perspective on some things. And so I'm going to give you the Christmas story from the book of John this morning. And if you'll just, tell you what, why don't we, on the day that we celebrate the birth of Christ, the Word incarnate, would you stand in honor of the reading of God's Word? I'm just going to read to you. You read along with me. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. I think I told them through 19. But we're going to do 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning Him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of His fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is Himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made Him known." May God bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. Christmas in the book of John. How many of you ever heard a message, a Christmas message from the book of John? I don't know that I have ever either, but Christmas doesn't come every, I was going to say Christmas doesn't come every year, but it does. But it's not every year that we have Christmas on Sunday morning, so I'm excited about that. Christmas in the book of John. I want to clear up a few things, because when we talk about the birth of Christ, there is a difference between the birth of Christ and the beginning of Christ. Christ did not begin on that first Christmas. Scripture tells us that in the beginning was the Word, which is Jesus Christ, and the Word was with God. When? In the very beginning, before the very beginning. They created the beginning. Okay? And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Christmas was when God came to us, when He Emmanueled, when He became to dwell among us. I love the passage here. Let me find it. Verse 14, where it says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us," or dwelt among us. The very literal translation from the Greek is this: that He pitched His tent among us. Now, when you think about a tent as opposed to a house, what's the main difference? Well, a tent moves, and a tent is temporary. You know, He didn't say, "I've come to plant myself and establish myself for all of eternity right here among you." And He said, "No, I'm coming here for a temporary time in the flesh to be with you." But there's some, you know, there's the truth is that all of eternity, your eternity depends upon what you believe about what Christ did when He was here in the tent, in the temporary dwelling. His body was a temporary dwelling. For that matter, so is yours. Okay? So the body that you're living in is temporary, and when it falls apart, which we've had a lot of falling apart lately, right? A lot of you folks have been having surgeries and such. And you don't have to be old for that, because some of us are falling apart at a young age too. Of course, it's not going to be many more years, Rebecca, that I can say that I'm young, because I'm starting to get not so young anymore. But our bodies are temporary too. The question is, where do you live next? Once this house, this tent is demolished and destroyed, where do you live next? Because you're going to live somewhere. You're going to live somewhere. Scripture is very clear on this subject, that the soul is eternal. And there are two places of habitation for all of eternity. The Bible is very clear on that. It's heaven and hell. And so the greatest thing that God ever did for us is He made a way for us to spend eternity with Him in heaven. That is Christmas. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was with God in the beginning. And then here, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And He did this for you and for me. Now, John is writing this passage. John is one of the disciples, one of the closest disciples, and he's writing this, and it's important to note it's important to note that John is not writing this as the events unfold. He has sat down afterwards, and he sat down and he contemplated, and he put all this in his mind under the direction of the Holy Spirit. He penned these words. Okay, so it's afterwards that he wrote this. It is a post-resurrection, and what I love about that is when you read verses 4 and 5, it says, "In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." See, he wrote this post-resurrection. That when the darkness, the death, the evil one tried to overtake the light still overcame the darkness. Did you know that you cannot make it so dark that the lights don't work? Light always wins. Always. Every time, light will win. And that's what Jesus is. He is the light of the world. When you talk about Christmas time and gifts, and we talk about the story of the of baby Jesus in the manger, and then you know, it all kind of runs together real quickly, like in the Bible narrative. But the truth is that it was some time later, possibly up to 3 years later, before the wise men from the east. And we always say, you know, the song "We Three Kings of Orient Are." We just assume that there were three of them, because there were three gifts brought: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But we, in actuality, we don't know exactly how many there were. But we do know that when they showed up, it was not Jesus in a manger with hay in the barn. This was several years later when he showed up. When they showed up. But and so when we get that the gifts that were given, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, that's kind of where we have the idea of exchanging gifts at Christmas time, giving of gifts to one another. But here's the deal. In verse 12, it says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Hello, best Christmas present ever. God is a giving God. He gave us the right to become children of God. Matter of fact, one of the most famous verses in the Bible, John 3:16. "For God," say it with me, "for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." That's right. That's right. He gave. God is a giving God. He is the first giver. The first giver. The question is, have you exchanged gifts with him? Have you exchanged gifts with him? You know, he gives this offer of eternal life to you, and you might say, "Well, what do I have to give back to him?" And the answer is, you. Everything. Your whole self. Exchange gifts with God. Exchange gifts with God. What a great Christmas it is to exchange gifts with the God of all creation. Best Christmas present ever. No one has ever seen God, in verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. You see, God said this, and I'm going to paraphrase, okay? This is not a scripture, quote from scripture, but God said this. You know, here's the problem. Maybe he was sitting around with the angels, and he said, "Man, I got a problem on my hands. You know, my word is law. My word is decreed. And once I say my word, that's the way it goes. And I've said that the wages of sin is death. That if they sin, if they do something wrong, if they tell a lie, if they take a pencil from the bank, although those are really supposed to be men to taken, right, because they have advertisement. So let me say this. If they take a paperclip from the office, if they cheat on their taxes, if they fudge just a little bit, that's called sin. And God said, "I've already decreed that if they sin even one single time, the wages of that, the penalty, the outcome of that is death, eternal separation from God the Father. They cannot be with me any longer." He said, "But I'm not going to go back on my word, because I'm God and I can't do that. But I'm going to make a way possible, because it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God," there he is giving again. He just gives. He said, "The gift of God is eternal life. And that gift is given through the Son of God, Jesus Christ." Exchange gifts with him. If you've not exchanged gifts with God, oh, what better day than on Sunday morning, Christmas Day, 2016, to exchange gifts with God. Say, "God, thank you. I receive the gift of eternal life, for the gift of salvation that you have given me so freely. And in return for that, I give you myself. I surrender me to you, and I'm going to let you be the boss, because you rescued me." That's when I talk with children. Instead of using the terms Lord and Savior, I like to use those terms, boss and rescuer. It means the same thing, right? Boss and rescuer. I'm going to let you be the boss. You're going to be in charge. You make the rules. You set the guidelines. And I follow those because you're the boss and I'm not. And rescuer, because you did something for me that I could not do for myself. When I was drowning in my sin, when I was drowning in just my humanity, you reached down and you rescued me through the blood of Jesus Christ. So when you say, I recognize you as my boss and my rescuer, I give you myself because you certainly gave yourself for me. You've just entered into a relationship. You've entered into an eternal relationship with God the Father. That is what Christmas is all about. That is why He gave. That's why He gave. To give you, to give us an opportunity to respond to the call of the Holy Spirit, to follow Christ, and to be with Him for all of eternity. That is Christmas. Christmas is giving and receiving. Now, as a child, my idea of Christmas was all about me. Rebecca says, you're talking like that's past tense, brother pastor. As I have grown and matured, I get more enjoyment out of giving these days. And I think that's what God is too. God gets His more enjoyment out of giving than receiving, because the truth is, what can you give to God that is worthy besides yourself? And the only reason yourself is worthy is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, so basically you're giving God back Himself, the righteousness of Christ. And so we have nothing. We have nothing to give except what God has already given us. But He says, are you going to give it? I've given to you. Are you going to give back to me? So my friend, if you're here this morning and you have never exchanged gifts with the God of all creation, I want to make sure that you understand that you have an opportunity to do that today. To say to the Lord, Lord, I understand what You've given me. I receive it. I'm going to open it up and I'm going to give back to You all of me. I know they're not equal gifts. How many of you have ever received a gift and you've given somebody else and you felt kind of embarrassed because they gave you like something that was extravagant and all you gave them was like a $5 iTunes card or something? You know, it just didn't match up. You know, when you wives, I know most of your husbands have done this. When you walk outside and there's this Cadillac STS sitting out there that has a big bow on it just for you, and you say, but honey, thank you for my gift. I made you brownies. You know, depending upon the quality of your brownies, they may or may not be equal gifts, right? Well, that's just the truth. God has given us such an extravagant gift. There's no way you can match it. There's no way you can outgive it. But God is not, He didn't weigh that on the scale. He just says, let's just exchange. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. And like I said, the truth is sometimes we discount our gift. The truth is, we discount our gift and we say to God, I'm so low, I'm so worthless, I have nothing that I can give to You. Then that's not the truth. I need you to understand this. That is not the truth. Because when God Almighty created you, He created you in His own image. And He created you with the grace that He has given us. Is His grace. The faith that it takes to respond to Jesus Christ is not your faith. It's faith that God has given you. So when you give that back to Him, you're basically giving Him His gift back. And it is a special gift. He loves getting those gifts. So if you've not received Jesus Christ, I just want to make that invitation to you today, plain and clear. Today can be your day. Now it's quite possible that you have been living your life and you've been going to church and you've been doing the things and you've been tithing and you've been, you know, treating people right and doing this and that and the other, but there may be something missing. There may be that close fellowship that has not been there. And I want to challenge you this Christmas Day 2016 to start 2017 a little different. To start 2017 saying, Lord, I am truly going to recognize you as my boss. Did you know that you don't, if you want to stay employed, you don't, when your boss says do something, you don't just say, nah, I don't think so. Has anybody tried that? Let me get, don't try that. If you want to stay employed, don't try that, okay? You don't do that because the boss is in charge. And if you're claiming Jesus Christ as your Lord, that's what you're doing. You're saying He's the boss. He's in charge. That means you follow His rules. You follow His decrees. You follow His wishes, His desires. You are living for Him. You're surrendered. You've given yourself up. Okay, and if you have so-called received Christ at some point in your life, but you've not been living a life that is surrendered to Christ, fix that today. Fix that today. I will promise you, and I will give you your money back. It's a double your money back guarantee that if you will commit to live like that, you'll be blessed beyond measure. And you'll say, whatever I would have been or could have been otherwise, this far exceeds it because I'm a child of God. Remember, He gave us the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. My friends, today has not been your typical Christmas story. We didn't really talk about the manger. We didn't talk about the donkey ride. We didn't talk about no room in the inn. Read chapter 2 of the book of Luke. You'll get all of that. It's good. I'm not discounting that because it's Scripture and it is rock solid. It is good as it gets, okay? But I want to tell you this. This morning, I just felt compelled to tell you that if you've not exchanged gifts with God, if you've not received the salvation and given yourself to Him, you're selling yourself way short. You're cutting yourself out and off. And that's not why God made you. God made you for fellowship with Him. To have a relationship with Him so He can work in and through you to reach and touch those around you. You have a purpose. There's a reason why you're here. I'm not just talking about in this building. I'm talking about there's a reason why you're on the planet. My advice to you, my desire for you is that you would seek out the Lord and say, Lord, what is my purpose? I guarantee you, like I've said before many times, I know two of those purposes for sure. The general purpose that God has for every one of us is one, to know Him. And number two, to make Him known. Now, other than that, God has other individual purposes for you and I. There are lives out there that can only be touched through you. Will you be obedient to do that? As we look forward to 2017, I don't want same old, same old. Same old is good sometimes. But it also becomes routine. It loses passion. It loses flair. It loses excitement. And folks, you've got to be excited. Remember I said greatest Christmas present ever? You got to be excited about that. If you're not, you can get excited again. All you got to do is say, Lord, make me excited again. Fire me up. Paul wrote to Timothy, you've got to fan into flames that light that was lit. You've got to reignite, not reignite, but you've got to restart. You've got to put some fresh kindling on it. You've got to fan it back up because God has desired us. He has designed us to burn hot, white hot. And if you're not there, folks, let's get a little fanning. Let's make 2017 a year to remember. 2016's been good. Not all of it, There's been some things that have not been good. But as soon as I say that, I'm reminded that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. So why might it not feel good? God's still working in it, and it will be good. I know I've been all over the place this morning. When I talked about, I told the group last night, which was an amazing time last night. I told the group last night that sometimes I get asked, which one is the more holiest, the most holy of holy days? Is it Christmas or is it Easter? And it's a good question. It's a good question. Because Easter is when our salvation was bought. But Easter could not have happened had Christmas not happened. But I came to the realization about 2 weeks ago this. Every day is a holy day. How did we start? This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Every day is a holy day. But this time when Jesus pitched His tent among us is not different segments. It's not different acts. It's one continuous episode beginning with the birth of Jesus Christ and ending the resurrection. Jesus, when He was hanging on the cross, He said, "It is finished." And I told the group last night that I think if He could have talked when He was born, His first words would have said, "It is beginning." This section of time when Jesus dwelt among us. So which is holier? Yeah. Yeah. It's all together. Because I will tell you this, at the birth of Jesus Christ, it was done with the cross in mind. That's why He came. That's why He came. To give of Himself for you. Won't you give yourself to Him? Father in heaven, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Thank you for the greatest gift ever. Thank you that you gave of yourself. Lord, you did not have to do that. But you wanted us to be with you for all of eternity. And so you stopped short of nothing that was required. You gave the very best. You gave of yourself. Lord, may we give in return ourselves back to you. Lord, that looks like in receiving you for salvation. That looks like honoring you with our finances. That looks like honoring you with our time. That looks like honoring you in our relationships. That looks like honoring you in the way we raise our kids and the way we treat our spouses. That looks like honoring you in the way we do our work at our job. That looks like honoring you in the way we treat the salesperson in Lowe's or in Walmart. That means honoring you by the way we talk to our neighbors. Lord, help us to live a life that honors you, for you are truly worthy of it. May we give of ourselves and thank you that even though it doesn't hold a candle to the gift that you gave us, you receive it. You receive it, you acknowledge it, and say, "Now, we've exchanged gifts. And we have a relationship with you." Thank you for that, Father. Lord, I pray if there is anyone in the house today that has not begun a relationship with you, that today, Christmas Day 2016, would be that day for them. And Father, I also pray that if there's anyone in the room that has just not been living a life that honors you, living a life that is fully and totally surrendered to you, Father, that today would be that day. We would start this next year afresh and never look back. Never look back. Father, help us now. Help us to be honest with you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?